Welcome to PageCast, that open book, Cape Town, a special edition of the regular podcast brought to you by Jonathan Ball Publishers. Usually, we explore the latest in literature year-round, but today, we're coming to you straight from the heart of the Open Book Festival, Cape Town's annual celebration of South African literature in an international context. In these festival-exclusive episodes, we sit down with some of the most inspiring voices in literature to delve into their stories, insights, and the powerful narratives that shape our world. Let's dive into the pages together. Nick Mhlongo was born in 1973 in Soweto. His first novel, Dog Eat Dog, was published by Quella in 2004 and was translated into Spanish in 2006. The Spanish edition was awarded the Mar de Letras Prize. Besides writing novels and short stories, Nick has written a screenplay for the animated children's TV series Magic Cellar and scripts for a comic magazine called Mshana, the first issue of which appeared in February 2007. The City Is Mine, his most recent novel, was published in 2024. Nick, thank you for joining us and welcome.
Thank you for inviting me, Jean-Marie.
Welcome to the Open Book Festival this year. How are you finding the festival so far?
As always, it's a place where, I get so much inspiration and I meet lots of writers that have got their books, and also share ideas with them. So I go to panels and listen to them. And this is the space to be.
Okay. And talking about authors, I'm going to start off with this question. If you had to invite three authors to a dinner party right now, dead or alive, who would it be?
Wow. Good question. The first one that comes to my mind, for instance, is Buchi Amecheta. She unfortunately passed away. Okay. And then I will go for another one that has passed away, Ama Adaidu. And the third one is living, it's Patti Smith.
Interesting. So tell us about your latest book. It's called The City Is Mine.
Yes, this is the book that is a book of emotional journey around the city. For the first time in my writing, for instance, I made the city to be the main character, because this is the city that interests me, and this is the city that I was born in, Johannesburg, and is the city that I always reflect upon, So I wrote it in a form of a nostalgic kind of, writing, because I was writing about it in Berlin, in another city, which is Berlin. And, reflecting about this particular city that I want, I'm enjoying this city of Berlin, but I dislike it in winter, for instance, And I'm looking at this city that I'm able to walk and whatever, But I'm able to walk at night. I'm able to, it's safe city, safe space, for instance. And I'm looking at it. I'm looking into Joburg, and I say, I love that city because the weather is, how the weather is always constant, constantly nice and warm. But I don't have the benefits of enjoy that I'm enjoying here, of walking in that city that I love, because of all the things that are happening around it. So is the city, I was writing about the city that is decaying, the city that, is in a complete complex change, is complex and is always changing. So that was my area of interest, writing about the city in the past, in the present, and also futuristically, how I would like this city to be in the future.
Okay. And I mean, in The City Is Mine, like you said, you take us through the streets of Joburg as Mangi, the main character, searches for meaning after his relationship falls apart. How did you capture the essence of Joburg in your writing? And what does the city represent for Mangi specifically as he navigates this difficult period in his life?
So the city becomes a place that is not home. There's a saying, almost not a saying. I mean, within most Africans, as Africans, when we are we don't consider the city as a place of living, or as a place where you could rest and, you know, even you retire in your old age, we consider it as a place of work, you know. So meaning that that's why most African people have got a home in the city and a home in the rural area. So the rural area where your ancestors are buried, where you know everybody, is your own home. Here in the city, you are coming to work. So here is my character, Mangi, who is from the rural area, who has a problem with what traditionally we consider home, which is the rural area, because that's in the rural area, he has got lots, is expected to have lots of responsibilities as men. For instance, he's supposed to be, he's no longer in good relationship with his sisters because he failed to contribute towards his mother's burial and also erecting a simple thing as a tombstone for her. Because he has got responsibilities of living in the city. But people in the rural area where he comes from, they don't think so. So the idea of writing this book was like, what is home? Home perhaps is not, the concept of home in itself has changed. And in because of our cultural traps, we are still considering those cultural, you know, norms of home. Like home is in the rural area. Home is a place where you have your blood relationship with your sister and what with your sisters, with your mother, with your extended family. But the dynamics of now and the future are different. So we need to reconsider what is home. That's why he is trying to build a home with his fiance in a nice suburb of Joburg. But as their relationship disintegrates, what happens is that he is found, he has to look for a new home. And what is his next home? He tries his car as his home, tries a brothel as his home. He tries living under the bridge with the street homeless, with the homeless people as home. He tries to be alone and live in the cemetery as a home. So what is the idea of home? So that's what I was trying to, you know, paint when I was writing this book.
Okay. And Aza, who's Mangi's fiance, right? The uncovering of Aza's secret sets off this chain of events that lead to the unraveling of their relationship and Mangi's sense of self. How did you approach the themes of betrayal and self-discovery in the novel, and what message do you hope to convey about the impact of personal crises on one's identity?
Yeah, thanks for that. When I was conceiving this, I was thinking like, normally when we talk about, you know, deceit, abuse, not from my side, for instance, I still, whenever somebody comes or I receive a call from the, there's an abuse at home. What comes to my mind in most cases is that a woman is abused. You know, I normally don't attach abuse to, you know, females, you know. So abuse, in the story, I was trying to tell that, that abuse can come from different angles. It can come from even our own children. It can come from women, females as well. It can come from people that we love and we trust. That's exactly where it comes from in most cases, from the people that we love and trust. So Mangi loved Aza, and in loving her, he overlooked the thing that there might be, she might come with, there must be some lies. That is the foundation of their relationship. And then once he discovers that, it leads to his mental breakdown. And that's what happens to most of us when somebody that we trust a lot, when we are going through divorces, when we're going through breakups, you know, even simple breakups, even simply break up with a friend, we reach a point of mental breakdown. That's what happens to Mangi. He becomes homeless, but at the same time, it affects him mentally. So that's the reason that the book also addresses the point of a mental breakdown within the relationship. The relationship and the city itself contribute to the mental breakdown. And what I'm saying this is that in most cases, as an African, for instance, whenever people have mental breakdown, we normally, what I've observed is that we associate it with a spiritual intervention. Why I'm saying that is that sometimes you will be told that, you have a mental breakdown. That's because, you didn't marry your previous ancestors had given you this person to marry, and then you didn't marry them. Whenever somebody doesn't have, most especially a female, you don't have children, or you are not married and whatever, it's associated as if you have done something wrong to the spirits. And then the spirits now are coming in a form of a revenge to let you know that you should go back and revisit that. So that's the problem. That's the problem that I was addressing, that sometimes we neglect simple things that the city or the place that we're living in, the simplest thing, can contribute to mental breakdown. You know, the fumes in the city. When you arrive in the city, for instance, like here in Cape Town, I studied here. Mm-hmm. We took this road towards the castle, and then the first thing that comes to is, you know, homelessness in this city that I've never seen. That can contribute also to your mental breakdown. It's something that's contributing. The filth that we see, the fact that you can no longer go to a particular place that you used to go, it contributes to a mental breakdown. So that's me trying to associate the city. When I was writing these characters, Mangi, for instance, link the city and the mental breakdown through this main character, Mangi, and his relationship with his fiance, Azza. So whatever happens to Mangi and Azza in terms of relationship and breaking down happens to the city as well. There's a breakdown between the city and the people that used to live there. People are running out of the city, rat race, you know, going into living into suburbs and whatever, because instead of fixing it, you know. So that's my point about that.
Can I ask you, you know, in terms of the emotional complexities of dealing with heartbreak and how you wrote about it in the book, what aspects of the story, of Mangi's story, do you think will resonate most with people, with readers?
I think I can only gauge that through the series of launches that I've had and the same questions that are being asked. Mm-hmm. I think the story that resonates more with people is the story of the homelessness and Mangi living under the bridge, you know, because now you are, it's more like a fall from grace, you know. He used to live in the suburb driving these cars and whatever. Now the car is repossessed right immediately in front of the people, the social media people taking pictures instead of helping, you know. So he has to run away from the people. One of the places that they find solace is under the bridge. And the story of people living under the bridge, I think, is what resonates with people most. And simply because these people are coming from different parts of the country, of the country, including outside. There's a Zimbabwean living there. There's a person coming from Umtata, for instance. There is a person coming from, Mbombela, you know. So they all converge there. And through their stories, we realize that they didn't run out. Not all the people that are living under the tree that are homeless are druggies, and they still some of them are not broken down completely. They still possess their hopes, like the guy that goes to jail, because now that he's going to jail, we don't know, because in jail there are certain rights that are not happening when you are homeless. Like, for instance, when you are in jail, you can come back and you can be allowed to study. You can come back out of there being a doctor, you know. Mm. So he still possessed that kind of hope. So not all is lost when it's not everything is lost under the priest. So that's what resonated, I think, with many people, because many of them have said one thing to me, that they will never look into homelessness the same way. Yeah,
that's very powerful. And I mean, Azar's secret plays such a pivotal role in the narrative. What drew you to explore the idea of hidden truths within relationships? And how do you see these secrets affecting not just Mangi and Azar, but relationships in general?
Yes, first of all, if you look in the way I've weaved the story, it affects lots of relationships. First relationship that suffers is the dog. You know, there's a dog in the book called Peanuts. The person that used to look after that dog is Mangi. It's and then now he's gone. The dog suffers, but when they try to rekindle their relationship, and the dog is dead. So what happens to their relationship? There's no longer anything that connects them together. So that's why there's a serious complete now of broken relationship. But not only that, you also look into his relationship, the fact that he was trying to to build a family with her. Another family felt neglected, the family that wanted to control him, you know. So, but it's not only about breaking relationships that is more important. It's also important the fact to learn that as you break relationships, you build others. He built a relationship with a guy in the brothel that helped him to, and a lady in the brothel that helped him to regain the life that he has lost, for instance, to regain himself, you know. So there's a lot of the things that are broken, but they are in the process, there are the sort of things that we gain. And in a way, what I was saying when I was writing this is that perhaps, you know, when we enter into relationships, we should know that relationships, sometimes some relationships are not meant to last forever. There's relationships that are just momentary, and sometimes when we stretch them, overdoing things. Well, it's like when we kill our plants by overwatering them. So your kindness sometimes can kill something, you know. So that's how I was trying to do that. But I was also of the point that sometimes, in the relationships that we might find ourselves in, that we need an outside trigger that to make us dig deeper into that relationship and to think deeper into it. Is this the lasting relationship or a momentary relationship? Of which both of them are fine. You know, there's nothing wrong with having a momentary relationship, and then but sometimes we force things that are meant to be momentarily to be stretching, because we are humans. We want safety. We want guarantees. We want all these kind of things. So that's the point that was.
Okay. Can I ask you, I mean, what did you take from writing this book? Like, was there something that you learned when you were writing this book?
Yes. I wrote the book from Berlin. I live in Berlin at the moment, since 2020. So I'm a resident of Berlin. When I wrote the book, I was writing it I started around typing it, actually, because the book has been written many times, but starting typing to type it was around COVID time, you know? And then around that COVID time, it helped me to rediscover more about the things that I didn't know about my city. I'll give you an example. I studied at Wits University from 1994 to 1997. So there's always a symmetry that features in the book. It's always in front of the gate of the university. It's something that I used to ignore and think like, maybe that's where dead professors are buried, you know? And then I realized that when I was writing the book, I had to research what is in there, you know. I had to go deeper. And the things that I found, the history that I found about Johannesburg, the history of Johannesburg, enriched me a lot. It made me to feel like, wow, I know this city now. I used to think I know the city, but now I know the city more than I knew it before. And more than many people that I know, they know the city. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks so much. What is next?
I'm a person that does so many things at the same time. So I've got short stories that are only published in German that I want to make them accessible to my English fans, readers, for instance. So there are already 5 of them. And then I'm writing more, so I'm putting more, maybe 7 or 5 more to make a complete collection of short stories. But I've got a novel that is coming out, that I'm writing, which is 50% into it. So I'm writing 2 things at the same time, you know. So it might be a novel that might come out, but definitely one of them has to come out. I hope it's a novel. And then short stories later, yeah.
Okay, well, awesome. Thanks so much for joining us, and you must enjoy the rest of the festival.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Thanks for joining us on this special edition of PageCast at Open Book. Stay tuned for more conversations with incredible authors. And remember, every story brings us closer to understanding the world around us. Until next time, keep turning those pages.